This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Any person following news will be abreast with developments that is happening locally and abroad, and he will know, understand and realize that the entire planet has been rocked by turbulence, political, social, financial and economical. And from time to time we hear that nations are meeting and the think tanks are sitting down to try and map out some peace solution, to navigate, to inject some assets and empower certain nations. But like the Quran says, that the chunk of people, majority of people, even if they claim to reconcile or to make some peace, يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ, they appease you verbally and their hearts deny peace. Their hearts deny peace. كَيْفَ وَإِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةً, if the opportunity presents, then they will not distinguish between any agreement, any pact, any document, any signature, or any relative. Then they will just strike and attack. So that's the condition of the world by and large. I take you back to the golden era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to understand the prophetic formula. حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unique in all regards. It was his final Hajj. It was the plains of Arafat. It was the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And it was in this blessed land around the noble companions when he delivered his historical khutbah. And what did he say in his historical khutbah? أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. The first thing we need to know is learn to respect every human. He said, verily, your blood and your assets, your wealth and your honor is sacred just like the sanctity of this day. Now we know the day of Arafah is very, very sacred, both for the pilgrim and the non-pilgrim. For the pilgrim, it is Jabal al-Rahmah, the Mount of Mercy. It is where millions of souls and multitudes of souls are granted deliverance from the fire of Jahannam. There isn't a day in which the devil is more dejected and disgraced and humiliated than the day of Arafah. And for the non-pilgrims as well, it is a day of taking from the mercy of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those that will observe the fast of Arafah, it will atone, compensate and expiate for the previous year's sins and the sins of the year coming ahead as well. And it was on the day of Arafah, which coincided with a Friday, that the verses Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum, which was 80 odd days before the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just as you appreciate and understand and comprehend the sanctity of this day, understand the honor and the wealth of every believer is sacred. In fact, so beautifully I read in one tafsir, Suratan fil Quran. There are two chapters in the Quran, Bada'at bil Wail, that commences with a sharp warning. Both these chapters commence with wail. Wail loosely translates as woe, destruction. Be careful. Or it can mean a pit in hell. Wailun lil mutaffifin. Al-ula fi amwal an-nas wa thaniya fi a'rad an-nas. The first chapter says, woe be to the fraudsters who usurp the wealth of others. And the second chapter says, wailun likulli humazatin lumaza. Woe be to those who attack the honor of the believers, who attack the honor of any person. So be very careful not to usurp the wealth or attack the honor of any person. Now, what was the approach with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, quelled the uprising and united the hearts and created this amazing relationship that is unparalleled in human history? He addressed the congregation. And it was just not that congregation, but it was a message for all from the Messenger of all, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuha an-nasu inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. He said, ala kullu shay'in min amri al-jahiliyya mawdhu'un tahta qadamayya. Any practice of injustice or abuse or exploitation of pre-Islamic era, before, in the era of darkness, has been placed beneath my feet and has been cancelled, annulled, and remitted. So we're closing the chapter on it. We're putting the lid on it. We're not going to bring up old wounds. What they say in English, some people cannot heal because they live in their minds. Some people cannot heal because they live in their minds and they take out old wounds, and unfortunately, they inflict themselves with those old wounds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala kullu shay'in min amri al-jahiliyyah mawdu'un tahta qadamayya." All the practices of the days of darkness pre-Islam has been put beneath my feet. But now, it's easy for me to ask my victim, forgive me and move forward when he's on the receiving end. But it's very difficult for someone who's a victim to embrace his victor and perpetrator. Look at the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, وَدِمَاءُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَوْضُوعٌ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيَّ. That the blood that was taken and the souls that were innocently killed in the era of darkness, we have remitted them and we have cancelled that, and no revenge will be taken for any soul that was unjustly killed in the era of darkness. But I start by pardoning, and the first blood that I will remit and cancel is a child that was innocently killed in my family. We, the Quraysh, pardoned the perpetrators, and that was the Hudayl tribe. And just a backdrop to that in a nutshell, this was the son of Rabi'a ibn al-Harith, ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So Abd al-Muttalib was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His son was Harith, who was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose son was Rabi'a, and Rabi'a was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rabi'a's son was a baby that was being nursed fi Bani Sa'd, in the Banu Sa'd tribe, the very tribe in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was nursed. And while this baby was being nursed, فَقَتَلَتْهُ هُذَيْلٌ, there was a crossfire and the Hudayl tribe killed this child that was still being nursed. The Prophet ﷺ said, any form of killing that took place in the era of darkness, I have cancelled it and remitted it. And I start by pardoning the perpetrators, and that was the Hudayl tribe in this context that had claimed the innocent life of the child of Rabi'a, that was my nephew. And then furthermore, he said, وَالرِّبَ الْجَاهِلِيَّ مَوْذُوعٌ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيَّ. And the interest and the usury practices of charging exorbitant amount in the era of darkness, that is also beneath my feet. As the Quran said, وَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. That stop from those previous practices, you can claim your capital investment, but not this interest and compounded interest, etc. وَأَوَّلُ رِبًا. And the first interest and usury that I am cancelling out, and the first one that I will remit, is the interest and the usury owed to our family, and more specifically to my uncle. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never taken, and he would have never committed or indulged in anything of this nature whatsoever. However, his uncle Abbas radiyallahu anhu, prior to Islam, would borrow handsome amount and would claim large sums of interest. So all these practices are now done, remitted, cancelled, annulled, concluded. Nobody can lay any claim. We pardoning the perpetrators who killed my nephew. We cancelling the money that is owed to my uncle Abbas radiyallahu anhu. And that's the message I have for you, my brother and my sister, from the plains of Arafat, in the final sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make a difference by forgiving. I need to make the change. What did the Urdu poet say? Insan ghar badalta hai, gari badalta hai, kapre badalta hai, phir bhi pareshan kyu rehta hai, kyunki khud nahi badalta. A person changes his watch, he changes his phone, he upgrades his car, he changes his house, but he's still depressed and anxious. Why? He's changed the things around him, he hasn't changed himself. Umar bar yahi bool karta raha, dabbe chehre pe tha aur aina saaf karta raha. The poet said, this was the mistake I made my whole life. The scar and the pigmentation was on my face, and I was cleaning the mirror. It's got not, the blemish is not on the mirror, the blemish is on me. So the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ is forgive, But how do you forgive? You start pardoning those that have hurt you and harmed you. If that's the approach we adopt, that we make a change by looking at how I can impact on the lives of others, then we'll see the difference. And then he said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fear Allah with regards to women. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ. Because you've taken that woman in your wedlock through the security of Allah. And there's one hadith I leave you with. And I find this the single most profound advice that I can give to a prospective couple or a married couple, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then in the hadith that follows, he also spoke about the woman that there writes to the husband in his farewell sermon in the plains of Arafat. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this particular hadith that I was referencing previously, he said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Let not a believing male despise or dislike or shun his wife, spouse or partner. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. I paraphrase and give you the gist of this hadith. If there's something about your wife that depresses you, surely there are many more things about her that impress you. Focus on the positive, overlook the negative, and reconcile. Let us live the legacy from Arafat by effecting the change in our own lives first.